الفاظ بالذات من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله الذي ليس لأولية الابتداء ولا لأزلية الانقضاء وانحسرت الأوصاف عن كنه معرفته وردع عظمته الحكوم والذي لا توالي عنه سماء سماء ولا أرض أرضا. ثم الصلاة والسلام والتحية والإكرام على سيد البطحان سيد المرسلين والأنبياء أبو القاسم محمد المصطفى.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد
وعلى الجوهرة القدسية الفتول العراء سيدة النساء فاطمة الزهراء وعلى بعلها أمير المؤمنين وبنيها الذين أذهب الله عنهم الرجس وطهرهم تطهيرا.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد
لا سيما على حكم الله وحجته الكبرى الذي بنوره رزق الورى وبوجوده ثبتت الأرض والسماء ولولاه لساقت الأرض لأهلها واللعنة الدائمة على أعدائهم أجمعين من حين عداوتهم إلى قيام يوم الدين. أما بعد، فقد قال الإمام الحسن العسكري عليه الصلاة والسلام:
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد
من أنس بالله استوحش بالناس صلوات.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد.
تعزية and condolences to all of you as we are commemorating the shahadat, the martyrdom of our 11th Imam Al-Hasan Al-Askari alayhi salatu wa salam.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad wa adil.
Our 11th Imam, who was killed according to Shaykh Al-Saduq by Muhtamid Billah, and his shahadat took place on the 8th of Rabiul Awwal, 260th Hijrah. And the duration of his imamat is only 6 years. And his life is, the total duration was 28 years. So at the time of the birth of Imam Al-Askari alayhi salam, his father also died in a very early age. And the age of Imam Al-Naqi alayhi salam was 16 years. At the time of the birth of Imam Al-Askari alayhi salam, his father was 16 years old. And Imam Al-Naqi and Imam Al-Askari alayhi salam are living in the times of some of the worst rulers in the history of Banu Abbas, including Mutawakkil and Mustansir Billah and Muhtamid Billah. And the situation, before I come to that, is Alqab, as I always mention, the Alqab of our 11th Imam are Az-Zaki, which means pure, having purity in the soul, and Al-Askari, which is the most famous one, and also Ibn Rida, the son of Rida. That is a laqab which is shared between three imams in our history. Imam al-Jawad alayhi salam, who was definitely the first and direct son of Imam Rida alayhi salam, and after him Imam al-Naqi al-Hadi alayhi salam, and after him Imam al-Hasan al-Askari alayhi salam. All three of them are called Ibn al-Rida. And as a matter of fact, all the Sayyids whom we call Radhawi, they are actually from the lineage of Imam al-Taqi al-Jawad alayhi salam, directly, not from the lineage of Imam al-Radha alayhi salam. But they are called as Radhawi Sadat because, you know, that's the way it has been narrated. So, Ibn al-Rida is one of his alqab that is shared between three imams. And the text of his ring was Subhana Mandahu Makalidu Samawati wal Ard. That means glorified is the one who has the keys of heavens and earth with him. Or Ana Lillahi Shaheed. Which is not contradictory, because it's always possible that the Imam used to wear two rings instead of one. So, I ana lillahi shaheed means I am a witness for Allah. Just like Imam Rida alayhi salam, when he used to recite Suratul al, Al-Mutaffifin, Surah al-Tin wa al-Zaytun. When Imam Rida alayhi salam used to recite Surah al-Tin wa al-Zaytun, at the end of the surah, he always used to say, "Wa ana ala dhalika min ash-shahideen." The end of the surah, if you remember, is Alaysa Allahu bi ahkamil hakimin. Isn't Allah the best of the judges? In other words, you know, this is what we learn in the light of the verse. So he used to say at the end of the surah that Bala wa ana ala dhalika min ash-shahideen. Yes, and I'm one of the witnesses over that. So ana lillahi shaheed. Every imam is a shaheed and a witness. And on behalf of Allah, not only over the a'mal, or the actions done by the people of his time, but also the a'mal and actions done by all the peoples of all times. And his mother, sallallahu alayha, has several names mentioned in the narration. Hudayth and Salil are some of the famous ones, and has a lot of, definitely a lot of respect and highness in the hadith of Imam al-Naqi al-Hadi alayhi salam. He has said about his wife that she has been taken out of every afat and aha and nijasat. So this is definitely the highness of that lady. And every prophet, based on our belief system, and every imam, likewise, based on our belief system, has to have a father and a mother who are tayyib and tahir and zaki and purified. You know, it's not possible, according to our belief system, that a prophet of God or a wasi of the prophet, an imam alayhi salam, who are the wasi and awsiya of the prophet, can be born to a father or mother who are not tayyib or tahir in their spirituality. That's not possible. Mm-hmm.
لا يزال الله ينقلكم من أصلاب كل مطهر ومن أرحام المطهرات. Isn't that right? That's how we say in the ziyarat. And constantly Allah has been transferring you and the bed from the sulb and the lineage of purified fathers and the rahim and womb of purified mothers. We don't believe like some other sects of Islam believe that Azar was the father of Ibrahim alayhi salam. Isn't it right? That's not what we believe. Azar was not his father, he was his uncle. The father of the Prophet can never be a mushrik. You know, shirk is definitely a very big sin. He cannot be even somebody who has, doesn't have the tibul qalb and tibul nafs, and taharat of the qalb. So Imam al-Asqari alayhi salatu wasalam had, definitely we have those du'as narrated for various sa'at of the day, if you remember. For every sa'at and every hour of the day, we have a du'a. So likewise, the du'a which is related to the 11th hour of the day relates to the 11th Imam. And this is very good if a mu'min recites those du'as. And likewise, every Imam has his own tasbihat, his own specific muqtas tasbih that he used to recite. And the tasbih of Imam al-Asqari was Subhana man huwa fi uluwihi danin, that means glorified is he who is close in his highness. Wa fi dunuwihi alin, and he is high in his closeness. Wa fi ishraqihi munir, and he is illuminating in his ishraq, giving nur in his illumination. Wafi sultanihi qawi, and he is strong in his governance. In other words, subhanallah wa bihamdihi, glorified is Allah and with his praise. So this is the tasbih of Imam al-Asqari alayhi salam. Most of the life of Imam Asqari alayhi salam was in the prison or under the surveillance. So most of the narrations, or a lot of narrations about his life history, are related to the life in the jail. First of all, there's very less information available about Imam Imam al-Jawad alayhi salam and Imam al-Taqi alayhi salam and Imam al-Asqari alayhi salam. We have very, very less information available. For very clear reasons, very obvious reasons, because these Imams have been living a life forced by the lack of support from the community, lack of support of the people and the followers. They were forced to live a life in khifa. Our Imams have been either living a life in khifa or a life which is, you know, not under shadow, but a life which is giving them exposure. So starting from Imam Ali alayhi salam, his personality got the exposure, isn't it right? So that was not in khifa, it was in alam. Then came the life of Imam al-Hasan alayhi salam, which was in khifa. Then Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam, his life was also in khifa, except for the last segment of his life when he started the qiyam, last 4 months approximately of his life, where he got the exposure because of his qiyam. And then Imam al-Sajjad alayhi salam again had a life in khifa. Never got the proper exposure that he deserved because of the lack of support from the community. Then Imam al-Baqir alayhi salam and Imam al-Sadiq, al-Sadiqain alayhi salam, both of them got the exposure. So, and after that, Imam al-Qadim alayhi salam, his life was in khifa as well. Isn't right? Didn't get the exposure that he deserved because of the lack of support.
And after him, it was Imam Rida alayhi salam, who got the exposure only in the last 3 years of his life, 20 years of imamat, but 3 years of the life spent in Khurasan. That's where he got the exposure. So, but to some extent, he got the exposure. And so much that even the rest of the sects of Islam have been narrating from Imam Rida alayhi salam. So he was not isolated in that sense. So, and then came the life of three imams. And all the three of them were in khifa. Their life was in khifa and in under a shadow and never got the proper exposure. Their life history was very less narrated, less known, very, very few hadiths narrated from them. This is also a shame for the followers and the community, isn't it right? Because people have been abandoning their imams. So this is definitely a shame for the followers and the community. So Imam Al-Askari Islam is the third one in the series of three imams. It never happened in the history that three imams got khifa, lack of exposure when they tell imams one after the other. So first time ever happened that three of the imams, one after the other, were in the shadow. Shadow in the sense that people abandoned them and did not provide the proper support, so their life was never exposed except very, very less. So this is what our scholars say, that Imam Al-Hujjat ibn Hassan al-Mahdi alayhi salatu wasalam is now a three imam gap taking place between him and Imam al-Ridha alayhi salam. So he definitely is going to get the fullest exposure on behalf of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and also the support from the people, isn't it right? Support from the people, he is going to get that support. So, just for the sake of your information, this exposure in the proper sense will never happen without the hukumat and the government. When Imam becomes Maqsutul Yad, how we call it in our fiqh, an Imam who has the hukumat is the one who is Maqsutul Yad, his hands are free to operate. So he can then implement the Sharia because he had the support. So Imam Al-Askari alayhi salam, we have very few hadiths, very few narrations about his life history. We don't know much. Like I said earlier, most of his life is in the prison. Who is going to tell us about what happened in the prison? Isn't it right? Except some people who were inside the prison. Those who are narrating from inside the prison are the enemies of the Imam. Isn't it right? First of all, the narrations are not authentic. We cannot even rely on every narration, except some, because some became the supporters later on, so we can rely. So it's a sad chapter in the history of Islam that we find that three of our Imams have been treated like that. In a row. Most of his life was under the prison or under surveillance. And his father, Imam al-Hadi alayhi salam, used to hide himself from a huge number of his followers. Only some of his khawas, some of his close shias and companions were provided access by the Imam al-Naqi al-Hadi alayhi salam to meet him. And Imam al-Askari alayhi salam, his muddat of imamat, like I said in the beginning of my speech, is only 6 years. And just 6 years of imamat. So in the 6 years of imamat, he used to meet with even the khawas, even the close companions, he used to meet with them from behind the curtain. That's narrated in our own history. Maybe one of the reasons our scholars say is that's how our imams have been training the people to be prepared for the time of Ghaybat. And yeah, so it has been narrated that Hassan bin Sabih says, I was in the prison and Imam al-Askari was brought in the same prison. So he says that Imam said to me that you're going to live for 65 years, and he mentioned exact duration, this many years and this many days, exact amount of time for my life. And then Imam asked me, do you have a son? And I said, no. So Imam prayed for me and said, oh my Lord, give him a son who is a supporter. So I asked the Imam that, do you have a son? And he said, I swear to Allah, soon Allah is going to give me a son who is going to fill up the earth with justice, with adl and qist. This has been widely narrated in long list of narrations from the Prophet, Yamna al-Arba, Qistan wa Adlan, from the Sufi sources and Shia sources alike. كَمَا مُلِعَتْ ظُلْمًا وَجَوَّرَ Imam is going to fill up the earth with adl and qist, the way it will be filled with zulm and yaw. So this was widely known even by the enemies, isn't it right? Because this hadith was widely narrated, it was a public information. Even the enemies, Banu Abbas, knew that Imam Mahdi alayhi salam is going to establish a hukumat. Isn't it right? So finally a time will arrive that the nonsense of Banu Abbas and Banu Umayya and the Tawuts will end. No one can mess up with the hukumat. Earth is created by Allah, and the waris and inheritor has to be his Khalifa. Period. That's the law of Allah. The humans separated religion from politics. Isn't it right? But finally a time will arrive that this nonsense behavior, subjecting the 11 Imams to the hardships and troubles, and allowing the agenda of Tawuts to prosper, this kind of, you know, evil behavior of the followers and the Muslims is about to come to an end. So Imam alayhi salam is going to install the government. We find in the Zindan, in the jail called Nahrir, Imam Askari was transferred to that jail. That's another jail. And from Banu Abbas, they have commanded the guardian of the jail to be as hard and strict as he can over the Imam. And the wife of this guardian said to him that, you know, she basically warned him from doing this behavior towards the Imam alayhi salam. But this guy was definitely an evil person, and he said, well, what I'm going to do is that I will throw the Imam into the place where the wild animals have been kept. And that's exactly what he did. He put the Imam in that segment of the prison where they had kept the wild animals and beasts. And Imam Askari alayhi salam, the narration says, he was doing his salat and prayers inside that area. And all those wild animals who were present, they all came and surrounded the Imam in his respect. And all were circling around the Imam and was paying their respects to the Imam. So this is what we say in the dua of the hour number 11, 11th hour of the day. this dua belongs to Imam al-Asqali of Islam. This is what we say in the dua. So we seek towards Allah wa bil Imam al-Hasan ibn Ali alayhi salam alladhi turha lis-siba, for the sake of Imam al-Hasan ibn Ali alayhi salam, who has been thrown to the wild animals. فَخَلَّصْتَهُ مِنْ مَرَابِضِهَا. So you set him free from their place. وَمْتُحِنَا بِالْدَوَابِ بِالْسِعَابِ, and he was tested through untamable animals. فَزَلَّلْتَ لَهُ مَرَاكِبَهَا, and you caused those animals to become tame or modest in front of the Imam for the riding. This is referring to the story when Musta'in Billah, rahmatullahi alayh, what he did is that he had a mule and it was wild, not red, allowing anyone to ride over him. So he finally asked the Imam to help him out, to put the reins and the saddle over this animal. The real purpose of him was not to tame the animal. The real purpose was to kill the Imam. Because often this kind of horse, this kind of mule, if you are trying to ride, obviously you will end up being thrown several times over the ground, and you're talking about definitely, you know, killing of the person or injury of the person, severe injuries. So he wanted to kill the Imam basically. But the narration says the Imam alayhi salam put his hand over the animal. Just like if you remember the story in the night before Ashura, Imam alayhi salam goes, Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam goes into the khaymah of one of his ashab who was in very high fever. And as soon as Imam Hussein alayhi salam enters for the iyadat, this is mustahab to pay, do iyadat and pay a visit to the sick person, a mu'min who's sick. So Imam Hussein alayhi salam did all the mustahabat in his life, throughout the end of the life. So he says that I was burning in the fever, but as soon as you enter, everything is gone. And Imam Hussein alayhi salam had said to him that مَا مِنْ شَيْءٍ إِلَّا وَأَمَرَهُ اللَّهُ بِالْتَعَةِ لَنَا. There isn't anything except that Allah has commanded that thing to be obedient to us. So every thing of the universe, Allah has commanded. This hadith is another dalil for the وَلَايَةِ التَكْوِينِيَّ الْمُطْلَقَةِ for the Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam, that every think of the universe has been commanded by Allah to obey them. So animals are no different, they are all obedient. So he put his hand over the animal and he started to sweat and show his modesty in front of the Imam, and he put the saddle and the rein over the animal easily. Please say salawat.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
In the time of Imam al-Asqali alayhi salam also was the incident of Ishaq al-Kindi. Ishaq al-Kindi was a philosopher in Iraq. And what he did is that he wrote a book called Tanaqud al-Qur'an, the contradictions of Quran. So this is definitely a sign of the inhiraf, a person who is misguided. So Imam alayhi salam is the waris and inheritor of Quran. How can he tolerate this kind of thing to happen? So Ibn Shihr Ashub has written in his book Manaqib, the Imam said to one of his persons that isn't there anyone among you who can ask this person to change his mind or turn away from what he's trying to do. In other words, so he said, well, we are unable to stop him. Imam alayhi salam says that if I teach you something, will you convey it to him? He said, yes. So Imam asked him to basically to go there and get close to that person, have uns, familiarity with that person, and then after that say to him that if a mutakallim with Quran says to you that is there a chance that Allah may have intended some other meaning from those words that you have, you are taking, you are having your dhan and guman and your thoughts that this word means this. Is there a chance that Allah has intended some other meaning from that? This is how the Arabic language is, you know, it has so many meanings. One word has 70 meanings, you know. One word has more than 100 meanings. One word has 120 meanings. That's the way the Arabic language is. It's not easy for a person to understand every intended meaning. So we have to look at the qara'in and the external indicators and internal means in the text, included in the text. External means things which are not included in the text of the person. Internal and external indicators and the siyaq al-kalam, and finally the ulum, the sciences related to the lughat, the balaghat of the kalam, and finally we come to a decision. So that's not an easy thing. It takes a lot of research to discover the intended meanings, the meanings that have been intended by the mutakallim, and especially when the mutakallim is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it's not an easy job. So, this person went to Iraq, he traveled to Iraq, met with the person, and after a while he said to him the same thing that Imam said, is there a chance that, you know, the meaning that you are deriving is not the intended meaning of Allah? And he said, well, who taught you this? He said, this has been taught by Imam al-Hasan al-Askari alayhi salatu wa salam.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
And he replied that this thing cannot come from anyone other than the Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam. And he burnt down the book that he has composed. He just burnt down the book. Quran, it doesn't have any tanaqud or contradiction. The things that seems to be contradictory to the ignorant minds who are not having deeper information about the Quran, what seems to be contradictory is not at all contradictory. It requires the knowledge of what we call the umum and khusus and mutlaq and muqayyid. Isn't it right? Mujmal and muqayyid and aam and khas. So, also it is narrated from Ali ibn Asim al-Kufi that I came to see the Imam alayhi salam, and he showed me a rug which was from the Mawaris al-Anbiya, things, you know, there are several blessed items that every Imam has from the previous prophets. This is one of those. So Imam showed him that rug which had several of the prophets and messengers of Allah have been sitting on that rug. And Imam alayhi salam showed me the signs of the feet of various prophets on that rug. I started to kiss that rug and I kissed the hand of the Imam. And after that he says, Ali ibn Asim says, I said to the Imam that, you know, I'm unable to help you at the bed. Obviously, the people are seeing what situation the Ahlul Bayt are going through and how they are abandoned and isolated. He says that I'm unable to help you But in my heart, I do the bara'at from your enemies, and in the loneliness, and I have the muwalat and love towards you. So what would be my future? On the Day of Judgment, what would be my status? You are seeing the Imam is going through this kind of problem and you are not ready, able to help him. Well, if you are able to help, obviously, then there is no excuse for a person in that case. But the question was, and the situation was, he was unable to help.
So Imam alayhi salam replies back to him that I heard from my father, in other words, and from my grandfather, and from so on, from Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa alayhi wa sallam.
That whoever is da'if and weak from helping us, Ahlul Bayt, and in his loneliness he sends his la'an over our enemies. And so Allah, his angels of his voice reaches all the angels. And when one of you said the la'an on our enemies, angels of Allah take that la'an and they also send the la'anat on the one who doesn't send the la'anat. So they send it. So and also they start, they do the istighfar for that person and praise that person. Allahumma salli, they say to Allah, salli ala ruhi abdika hadha, send your salat on the soul of this servant of yours. الَّذِي بَذَلَ فِي نُصْرَةِ أَوْلِيَائِهِ جُهْدَهُ,
the one who did his effort, whatever effort was in his reach,
the one who did his effort for the nusrat and the help of the awliya and beloved servants of Allah. وَلَوْ قَدَرَ عَلَىٰ أَكْسَرِ مِنْ هَذَا مِنْ ذَلِكَ لَفَعَلَىٰ,
if he had the istita'at, the capability to do more than this much help, he would have done it, and he could not.
Some meneen are da'if or mustada'af, right, weakened people.
The highest level of iman is that a person performs the amr bil ma'roof and nahi al munkar with his yad.
Yad is a kinaya. Hand is a kinaya, means with our actions.
And the second level of iman is that you do the amr bil ma'roof and nahi al munkar against the enemies of Ahlul Bayt with your lisan. You can't do it with your actions, at least you can say.
And the third and the lowest level is that you do it in your qalb.
You cannot say it, or you are weak. Isn't it right? You are covered, you cannot say that much. Or you don't have... See, if you are unable to say it, that's a different thing. That doesn't mean you are covered, that you are unable to. But if you are able to say and you are not ready to say it, then you are a coward. So if you are if you are not ready to say and you are able to say, but you are not ready to say it, then the minimum you are required is to have the inkarul munkar, that means denouncing the wrong and the evil in your qalb, and supporting the ma'roof, the good, in your qalb. This is the minimum you are required to do if you are a coward. If you don't even do that, then even in the heart you don't feel bad against the enemies. Or in the heart you're not supporting the awliya Allah, Ahlul Bayt, and the supporters of Ahlul Bayt. Then this person is no longer a mu'min if you don't support in your heart. But if the, as a minimum you support in your heart, then you are called a person having adhaful iman, the weakest of the iman.
You're having it in the heart only. So the angels do this dua towards Allah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala replies to his angels, "O my angels, I accepted your dua. I accepted your dua and about this servant. And I heard your voice and I sent the salawat over my, in other words, my salawat over his soul. And I include his soul along with those who are chosen servants of Allah." We are discussing about the scenario when a person is unable to support. Then he will have at least this level of iman in the qalb, because he's unable to do the higher levels. We're not talking about the case where the person is able to support, but he's a coward. We're not talking about that. Abu Hashim al-Ja'fari is one of the very famous companions, narrated several narrations from Imam al-Hadi and Imam al-Asqari alayhi salam, for both. A very poor person. Imams have been guiding. Their job is hidayat and guidance. So Imam said to Abu Hashim al-Ja'fari that among the sins that are not forgiven is that a person says, "La ya laytani lam aakhadh illa bihada." In other words, so, and this is a very common situation. You know, a lot of people go through this kind of thinking. In their mind, they separate their sins. Well, this sin, that's a smaller one. It's not a big deal. This one is also a small sin. It's okay. It's not a big deal. Allah will forgive it. So in our mind, we keep on, you know, putting our sins on a corner in our mind and consider it, in our mind we consider it to be not a big deal, except maybe one or few sins that we think, well, this much, yeah, this was a big one. Other than that, everything else, I wish I was not held accountable for anything other than just these two, because these are all small ones. If this kind of behavior is something that Imam alayhi salam said, that among the sins which are not forgiven are these. So Abu Hashim al-Ja'fari thought in his mind, this is what I also did. I did the same thing in my mind. That means I also separated, you know, some of my sins. I considered that this one was big, but, you know, as compared to other possible sins. So I thought about this in the mind, and Imam said, do according to what you thought. In other words, that means what you thought is the right thing to hold yourself accountable about that. And the hadith says, and Imam alayhi salam said that shirk is more hidden than the movement of an ant, over a black stone, in the black night, in the dark night. Just imagine if there's a dark night where there's no light, and the stone color is also black. An ant is also black. If it is moving in the dark night with no light on a black stone, and the ant itself is also black, how difficult it would be for a person to see the ant and its movement. Imam alayhi salam, such a nice example. He said shirk is more hidden than that. Iyyakum wal muhaqqarati min al-dhunub. Keep away from those things that are considered to be less important. So we consider some of the sins to be less important. It's okay to do. They are less important. That's why we keep on doing it. Because we give less importance to those things. Isn't it? They become malaka. In the negative sense, it becomes malakatun nafsaniya. They become part of our soul. And we will take those things with us in the grave if we die without the tawbah. Iyyakum wal muhaqqarat min al-dhunub. Keep away from those sins which are considered to be haqeer and less important. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had said in his hadith that Iblis became radi and pleased about you people regarding muhaqqarat. sins that you consider big, obviously when you consider big, you will take care of, you do the tawbah. Isn't it right? This is the way the nature of the human is. But a sin that I consider to be less important, I will ignore it, because I consider it to be haqir, a very less important thing. Prophet said, the haqir, the muhaqqar, the sins that we give less importance, Iblis is radi about you people regarding those things, those sins. So that one is, that those sins are enough for Iblis to mislead us, basically. And Prophet ﷺ had said to Ibn Mas'ud, his wasiyyah, that don't consider the sin to be haqeem, less important, and keep away from the kaba'ir. On the Day of Judgment, when a person will look at his sins, he will cry blood and filth from his eyes. Blood and filth will come out of his eyes when he will look at his sins. Yawma tajidu, and then Prophet recited this ayat of Quran. Yawma tajidu kullu nafsim ma amilat min khairin muhbara. The day when every soul will see what he did of the good present. That means all our good deeds, we will watch and see our good deeds in the form of surah, present, physically present in front of us, in the form of a shape and form, present in front of us, whatever, physical or whatever, surah, a form of a, in a form and shape. وَمَا عَمِلَتْ مِنْ سُوءٍ, and what he did of bad, تَوَدُّ لَوْ أَنَّ بَيْنَهَا وَبَيْنَهُ أَمَدًا بَعِيدًا, what he did wrong, he would wish, I wish between that sin, that wrong, and myself is a long duration. He doesn't want to even have a look at that, so we learn that a person does not even like to have a look at his own sins. And Prophet had also said to Abu Dharr that a mu'min sees his sin as if a big stone is about to fall over him. Just imagine if you are present in somewhere in the mountain and there are falling rocks. The rocks keep on falling, isn't it right? So if there's a huge stone about to fall over your head, what would you do? Would you stay there? You will run away as fast as you can, you will run away from under that big stone and from the track and the path of that big stone. Look at the example that Prophet is giving to Abu Dharr. A mu'min considers his sin to be such as if he's standing under a big stone which is about to fall over him. A kafir considers the sin to be like a fly. A fly that passes by over his nose. How much importance you give to that? This came and passed by and went away. And you forgot it. And just busy in business as usual after a few moments. Isn't that right? This is how a kafir looks at the sins. So, أَشَدُّ الذُّنُوب مَسْتَهَانَ بِهِ صَاحِبُهُ. The most severe of the sins is what the sinner considers it to be lowly. This sin is less, it's not a big deal. So this is how it gradually piles up, like there's a story in the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He went, narrated by Imam Sadiq alayhi salam, that Prophet was in a place in so we learn in the light of that narration, it was in a Sahara, in a desert, without any plantation, without any plants, barren desert. And Prophet asked his ashab, "Ituni bihatabi," bring me the firewood. A
Ashab said to Rasulullah, it's a barren desert. You cannot bring a wood in a barren desert, there's no plant growing there. They went, everybody went in some direction to find something, you know, something to the Prophet. After a while, everyone, when they returned back, they brought little by little, everyone gathered certain small things, and they all piled up into a huge pile from a barren desert. When the huge pile was made by the Ashab, that's where the Prophet said, everything of the Prophet has hikmat and wisdom. So that's where the Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Hakaza tajtami'u az-zunub. That's how the sins gather. Gradually we did 5 harams, 3 harams today, 5 harams tomorrow, and we consider it to be less important, didn't even do tawbah, just passed by. Next day we did another 6 harams, another 2 harams, ghibat, hasad towards a mu'min, then tuhmat to somebody, isn't it right? Doing so many other harams, and it keeps on piling up without tawbah, keep on piling up. Some of the sins we don't even realize that it's a sin. We keep on doing it. Or ujb. Khud pasandi, isn't it right? We consider, no, I am okay, there's nothing wrong with me. Everyone else can be wrong, but I am okay. I'm not ready to pay attention to my own faults. Get slowly and gradually, the sins are all piling up over the back of the person. So, and these sins then, at the time of death, convert into the chains. Aghlal and Salasil. Aghlal and Salasil are the same. Aghlal and Salasil are the chains which actually are the sins that convert into, that become visible in the form of chains. So before I come to the end of my speech, the hadith of the Imam alayhi salam, which is narrated from Imam al-Askari alayhi salam. We have very few hadiths anyways, but one of the hadiths for the sake of tayammun and tabarruk, I would like to mention his hadith where he said, La tumare fayadhab baha'uka. Don't do mira, otherwise your baha and value will be lost. This is how it happens if you can. Mira and jidal, we already discussed in our lessons, if you remember, I talked about for quite a lot of things and ahadith have been mentioned about jidal and mira. You prove your point with your dalil and burhan, and the person accepts it, fine. Doesn't accept, you don't keep on insisting. You don't keep on arguing. Arguing for the sake of argument after you have already made your point is useless and condemned in Islam. We don't spend our time in arguing after we have proven our point with the dalil. We don't waste our time. This, if you keep on wasting your time in the argument, this is called jidal. That is condemned in Ulul Akhlaq. This is going to lose the value of your personality. وَلَا تُمَازِحْ. And don't joke around. Don't joke for yujtara alayka. People will become courageous against you. This is very, very true, because if you start joking with people, you know, who you don't have this kind of relation with them, isn't it right? And they will definitely, they may end up saying things against you which you don't like. So how we can stop that? We don't enter into this kind of joking conversation with them. And he also says in another hadith that qalbul ahmaq fi famihi. The heart of a silly, a stupid person is in his mouth. That means he says all what he thinks in the heart. He just says it. Isn't that right?
وَفَمُ الْحَكِيمُ فِي قَلْبِهِ. And the mouth of the wise person is in his heart. That means he thinks. He doesn't keep end up saying whatever he wants. He thinks, you know. And this is how we are supposed to do. La تُحَدِّثُ, like Amir Muneer Islam has said, La تُحَدِّثُ بِكُلِّ بِمَا لَا تَعْلَمْ. Don't speak about what you don't know. And then Imam Ali says, La تُحَدِّثُ بِكُلِّ مَا تَعْلَمْ. And don't speak about all that you know. Everything that you know is not supposed to be told to the others, right? You pick and choose, you tell some of the things that you know. Why you are choosing some of the things? Because you find which person deserves to be told. Isn't it right? We talk to people according to their mental levels. So Imam Al-Askari al-Salam, when he is poisoned by Muqtamid Billah, according to Sheikh Saduq's narration, and we find that Abu Sahl Ishaq al-Nawbakhti rahmatullah alayh, is a very great companion of Imam al-Askari al-Islam, Ishaq al-Nawbakhti. He was present in the final moments of Imam al-Askari al-Islam. In the final moments, this companion was present in that precious time. And he says that I saw Imam al-Mahdi alayhi salam, who was a young baby, young boy, 5.5 years old, or 12 years. Very, very few people saw. I just mentioned to you minutes ago that Imam al-Askari al-Islam used to meet with his khawas, his close companions, from behind the curtain. So there are very, very, very few people who had the opportunity to meet with Imam Sahib al-Zaman alayhi salam. And these people are really awliyaullah, very great personalities. So he says that I was there with the Imam in his final moment, and he was on his deathbed. He was already poisoned. He was on the deathbed, and he asked his son to be brought from inside. His son was doing the sajda, and he was called by the servant. And when his son came, Imam asked his son to give him water. And the son grabbed the glass and gave the water to his father. And I saw that. And then Imam alayhi salam, Imam al-Hujjat ibn al-Hasan alayhi salam, helped his father to do the wudu. And Imam did his final 2 rakats of prayers before his shahadat. And after his salat, he introduces the Imam. He talks about Imam al-Mahdi alayhi salam, that he is the Mahdi, and he is, you know, the one who is, who is going to be. In other words, he's the Imam. And when the shahadat happens, and his uncle Ja'far comes out to lead the janazah, it is not allowed for anyone other than the ma'soom to do the ghusl, or the tahneed, or the takfeen, or the tadfeen, or the salatul mayyit for the ma'soom. Only a ma'soom can do that. And the people saw at that occasion, those people who were present there in the Jama'at, they saw that a child 5.5 years old approximately came out of the house and removed his uncle Ja'far away, and he led the Jama'at over Imam al-Askari alayhi salam. This is how the situation happens. So at the time of the Shahadat of the Imam, at least we find that Imam al-Mahdi alayhi salam is present. He is providing water to the Imam. He is helping the Imam for doing the wudu. Isn't it right? But at the time in Karbala,
we find it's exactly the opposite. There's no one present next to Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam. Imam Hussein is left alone, completely alone. Ghariban, wahidan, faridan.
Completely alone and lonely.
There's none of Banu Hashim present next to the Imam. And there's none of the Ashab present next to the Imam. And Imam alayhi salam, when he comes to the Khaymah to seek his wida and do farewell towards his sister says that, have you prepared yourself to get killed? And Imam replies back, oh, why wouldn't a person prepare who has no Hami and no Nasir and no supporter remaining? So Imam alayhi salam is completely lonely. And Imam alayhi salam, when he starts to fight against the enemy, he says, see the battle of the thirsty person. See the battle of the hungry person. When Imam Sahib al-Zaman would appear, he would enter the Holy Kaaba. He would also say, Ala ya ahl al-alam, inna jaddi al-Husayn
qataluhu atshana.
Oh, the people of the world, my grandfather Hussein, they killed him thirsty. So Imam Hussein al-Salam, there was no one to provide water to him. And in the final moments also, some narration say, the Imam asked Shimr al-La'in to provide water. And he refuses. Obviously, even if Shimr had given the water to the Imam, Imam would never drink the water. Because Abul Fadl Abbas died thirsty. Because Sakina is there thirsty. Because Zainab alayhi salam is thirsty. Why would Imam bring the water? But he was never given the water until the last moments of his life. He was never given the water. And we find finally when the water comes, after the Asr of Ashura, after the Shahadat of the Imam, when the water is brought, and it is said that the one who is the youngest will get the water first. And then the water is given to Sakina bintul Hussein. She receives the water and she starts walking towards the maqtal. When the Sayyidah Zainab asks her, where are you going? She says, you said that the youngest should get the water first. I'm taking the water to Ali ibn Asghar. He's younger than me.
إلهي بحق الزهراء وأبيها وبعلها وبنيها والسر المستودع فيها. اللهم انصر الإسلام والمسلمين واخذل الكفار والمنافقين. اللهم انصر من نصر الدين واخذل من خذل المسلمين. اللهم انصر واحفظ وأيد علماءنا الربانيين ومراجعنا الربانيين نصيب الولي الفقيه قائد المسلمين. اللهم انصر جيوش المسلمين وعساكر الموحدين. اللهم فك عن البصراء المسلمين. اللهم وفقنا لما تحب وترضى وعجل في فرج مولانا صاحب الزمان واجعلنا من أنصاره وأشياعه وأتباعه وأعوانه وجاه محمد وآله الطاهرين.
Oh.